Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps.
Ramsey's Recaps!
Every week it's a new theme song, you know?
I love that. I love that it's fluid and dynamic. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, did you watch the new Smosh Mouth?
I did not, but I saw the thumbnail. Was it the one about parties?
Yeah, with Keith. I only bring it up because the April Fool's Smosh Mouth with Chance and Angela, they made up a bunch of Smosh Mouth themes. For anyone who doesn't watch Smosh, this is not relevant, but, like, we're going to talk about Smosh a lot because we both watch
it. Yeah, it's going to be in your best interest to watch Smosh if you're going to be a recurring listener of this podcast.
Especially after the Smosh marriage, but that's a whole other thing.
It informs most of our, like, vocabulary.
Yeah, if you want to know our sensitive humor.
Yeah, we have a lot of little, like, a lot of our inside jokes stem from that. I will do the thing where I see someone say one funny thing in a video, and then I say it so often that people in my general life think that I came up with it. I'm big on that.
That was me, you, and Game Grumps. Like, you thought I was just so funny, and then you started watching Game Grumps, and you were like, hey, wait a minute.
That's accurate. You and also our friend Michael, where I thought you guys were just, like, saying funny stuff. And then I started watching Game Grumps, noticing how much of their vocabulary you guys have adopted over the years.
That's what happens when you've been watching a YouTube channel since 2011.
Yeah, it's just what happens when you consume any media.
But
I do let the things I consume, it does influence my lexicon for a time being.
The whole point of this being, on the April Fool's Smosh Mouth, Chance and Angela came up with dumb theme songs. They were just, like, beatboxing and making up on the spot. And then the end of this last week's Smosh Mouth, they played one of the themes that they came up with as, like, their end card.
Oh my god, that's so Try Guys coded. That's, I know, so, like, Miles Nation. If anyone's
the lore.
If anyone's a consumer of Try Guys content.
If you watch Smosh, you probably watch Try Guys.
Yeah, the pipeline is there for sure.
The Venn diagram is a circle. Like,
it's advice that will go for miles. Just the best bit in the universe that turn it. I love the Try Guys because what they do is they take bits and then they make them real. They, like, use them. They do the bits so much and they take them so seriously that then the bit becomes just, like, real life.
Like,
where Miles had,
Eugene sitting on Keith's lap.
Yeah, and how Miles was, like, you know, every time would sing a fun, dumb little theme song, and then as a complete joke, made, like, and produced a real theme song, and then it became the theme song for all the other ones after.
And then he made his own podcast.
Yeah, so here's the thing, because I am a regular listener of the Try Guys podcast, and Miles no longer works at the Try Guys, but is actually in every podcast episode.
He must just produce the podcast.
I have to assume that's what it is. They don't do advice that will go for Miles anymore, but he's very much there.
Well, he's been in their videos a lot still, too. Like.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is batch content, but he also left kind of a long time.
No, because they did a whole new season of Candid Competition, and they brought Miles back for it.
You're right, they did do that.
Like, come on.
Also, sorry if my audio is a little silly. I noticed last week's episode my audio was a little silly, and it's because I'm in my parents' house and not my own home, which is way more, like, sound insulated. Also, I'm holding my mic in my hand, so I would like to think it's at a distance from my mouth that's appropriate, but if it's, like, a little too crispy, I apologize.
ASMR.
If it's, like, yeah, ASMR quality.
I hate that.
I apologize. I know that you do.
Well, speaking of 2011, Kitchen Nightmares.
This was an episode. This was an episode, fam.
I believe last week, when we ended, I told you that this week was gonna be a doozy. And then today I texted you as I was rewatching it. I was like, oh, you're gonna hate Grace.
I was 2 minutes into the episode when I texted you and said that my blood pressure was already high. It was the intro. It was when the voiceover was still, like, in a world where it was, like, still that part. when I was like, my blood pressure has spiked.
Yeah, this is one that will make you crazy because, like, it's so clear what the issues are, but it's because the issues are the two people who own the restaurant, like the husband and wife, Luigi and Grace, and they refuse to accept that they're the problem.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
No, Taylor Swift's gonna sue us.
Oh, God. She's my hero. I can't have that happen.
If she sues us,
she'll never be on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Are you hearing that, Taylor? Don't sue us.
No, we can't sever that potential connection. You know, the potential connection where we could get Taylor Swift on our Gordon Ramsay podcast?
You know,
we can't. Small, we can't burn indie, that bridge.
Small indie country pop star. She's just pop now. She's not even country anymore.
She's whatever she wants to be.
Ugh, whatever. Well, Luigi's d'Italia. I can't say it. Luigi's.
It's a Luigi's.
So the two guys that own this, the restaurant's called Luigi's. And
I need you to say it with the proper pronunciation.
Luigi.
It's a Luigi's.
And there are multiple moments
allowing any other pronunciation of it. I'm going to interrupt you. I know you're trying to do work. It's important to me that you say it correctly every time.
There are multiple moments in this episode where they all do the Italian hand, unironically.
Courtney is being such a trooper right now. Courtney's powering through my nonsense.
I was trying to bring up other nonsense.
I know you were, and I wanted my thing to be louder. Anyway, I'm done. Continue.
Stop texting me. So Luigi's was opened in Anaheim, California. Shut up.
Wait, no. Who's texting you? Tell us. Share with the class.
It's just a group chat for a market that I'm doing. It's not even that exciting.
Okay, boo.
Yeah, I told you. You're in all of my other group chats, so you would also be informed.
I'm sorry. I have to let everybody know that I am hungry, and that is going to inform how I am for the rest of this time.
And I need to let everyone know that I am a little stoned, and I also just had therapy.
Hell so, yeah, brother. We're all on our best times.
I feel like we're operating at different wavelengths today.
In fucking incredible. I know, I could not be more. I just could not be more, is how I feel.
Oh, I'm like crying. So Luigi's d'Italia was opened by Luigi and his dad, Don, in like the 80s or something. The 70s.
It's a Luigi and his dad, Don.
What? That's what it is.
No, you've done exactly what I asked you to do.
So they opened the restaurant and it was successful. And then in 1999, their dad retired back to Italy. And Luigi's brother, Tony, came to help with the restaurant because they have just the most Italian names.
That is true. Hey, Tony!
But what's even funnier is, like, this would be fitting if they were in, like, Brooklyn. They're in Anaheim, yeah. California. They're in Disneyland.
Like, I can confirm that in Anaheim there is Disneyland and there is jack shit anything else.
Yeah. Like, sorry to the people of Anaheim, but Anaheim kind of sucks. Like,
they know. Don't
they
worry.
Know. They know. Sorry to Anaheim, but get it together.
Somehow, like, they pulled off, yeah, like getting a baseball team.
They have a baseball team?
They have the Anaheim Angels, baby.
Oh, I did not know that. Are those the Angels that were in the outfield?
You know.
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Neither have I.
I just know it's about baseball and ghosts or angels, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think it's like the Dodgers.
Yeah, it takes place in Anaheim, California, I assume. I have to assume.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that's where the Mighty Ducks are from.
I'm gonna Google it while you continue talking.
So Tony is more laid back. They keep calling him lazy. I think he's just fully trying not to scream with at his brother anymore. Because it every shot where they're fighting, it's always Luigi and Grace yelling, and then Tony and his wife being like, okay, like, fine, like, God. like, I feel like they're just trying to, like, keep the peace a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is mean, but is Tony lazy or is Tony just, like, balanced?
Yeah, is he lazy or is he just, like, trying not to have everyone, like, watch him scream at his brother?
Or, like, is everyone else just too much?
Yeah, because, like, the whole opening sequence, they show Grace, Luigi's wife, like, arguing with customers and, like, top of her lungs screaming at customers about the food being good and that they're wrong and the food isn't bad. And then she, like, tells them to get the fuck out.
And yeah, it's, like, the kind of yelling where it's, like, not actually funny. Like, yeah, it could have been funny, but it's, like, not funny. It's cringy and embarrassing.
It's the kind of yelling that the video doesn't go to TikTok. It goes to, like, Good Morning America. Like,
yeah, it goes on Facebook.
Yeah. It's bad. So they are often fighting with each other, and that has in turn led to the food being bad, they're losing money, and they're only able to be open for one more month, and they're $1.5 million in debt.
Which is so... Is that the most amount we've been quoted in terms of debt?
I think it's up there. I'm trying to... There was one in season 2 or 3. I think she was a million in debt. It might have been more. But yeah,
a million and a half. That feels like the most we've seen.
Yeah, it's very rare that I think it gets above a million and a half, because I think at that point, that's when they just start taking shit from you. I don't think you can get, like, much more in debt from there before they just, like, take your restaurant and your house and your car. But I don't know. I'm not a banker or an evil person, so...
So update about Angels in the Outfield. The baseball team in question in Angels in the Outfield, they're the California Angels. So I have to assume that it's loosely the Anaheim Angels, and you're not supposed to know because it's a Disney movie and they have to keep it, like, not trademarked.
Also, I think it was set in LA, so.
Yeah, that would also do it, but it's very specifically the California Angels.
Sure. Okay, that's been your Angels in the Outfield update. Stay tuned for next week when we learn what the plot is, because I've never seen the movie.
Oh my god, the kid in it is a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's right. Isn't also Christopher Lloyd in that movie?
Probably.
I think he's one of the angels.
He's the outfield.
Yeah, he plays the ball.
Oh my god, okay. Okay, listen to this. Angels in the Outfield, known simply as Angels in some countries, is a 1994 Walt Disney Pictures film remake of the 1951 film of the same name, starring Danny Glover, Tony Danza, and Christopher Lloyd. It also featured appearances from future stars Adrian Brody, Matthew McConaughey, and Neil McDonough.
That is a lot to handle at this moment. A young Matthew McConaughey.
A young Matthew McConaughey. I don't know how old he was in 1994. Probably in his 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is. Doesn't matter to me, really. He could be any age and I'd believe it.
Yeah, he's one of those... I believe he's in his late 40s. I don't think he's in his 50s. I could be completely wrong, though. Are you going to Google Matthew McConaughey?
He was... No, I'm already on it. Don't worry. He was born November 4th, 1969, so he's currently 54.
Really? He's the same age as my dad, kind of. Aww. No.
Is your dad not Matthew McConaughey?
No.
There was too long of a pause for me to not... That doesn't dispel all of my doubt.
They look nothing
You paused
alike, so.
Too long to make sure... You've paused too long where I'm not convinced that your dad is not Matthew McConaughey.
I'm like 90% sure Grayson could be related to him.
That's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's actually true, but I think it'd be funny if they were, because they're just Texas, you know?
All right, so in 1994, he was 20-something.
And I wasn't born yet. We're just so young.
Oh my god, I'm like so young.
Except we're not anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
So, Gordon arrives, and the first thing he does
I forgot is... you were talking about that.
Alana, we're doing a podcast.
I forgot that's what we were here to do.
You're editing this one because you need to. I need you to listen back to all of this and like.
No, I don't want to. I know I offered, but I don't want
to. I don't want to either. Gordon arrives. Gordon Ramsay, because we're doing Ramsay's Recaps, the show where we recap Gordon Ramsay shows.
Right.
Are you familiar with our work?
Yes, I've heard. I've heard of it.
So Gordon gets to the restaurant, and the first thing he does is whips out his iPad like an old man and starts going to the Luigi's d'Italia website. And the website says that there's like a review on it, and it like praises the chef as this like 22-year-old like powerhouse blah 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 chef. And then Gordon walks into the restaurant, and the waiter is like, "Yeah, let me go get Luigi." And Luigi comes out, and Gordon's like, "You're not 22. And he's like, "I'm 51.
I fucking laughed out loud at this part. Because, like,
Gordon...
the universe that also, you know, this was a different guy than the 22-year-old chef was also high.
Yeah.
but also, yes, update your website.
Well, yeah, because then Gordon's like, "Your website says that you're 22. And he's like, "Oh, that review is from 1981. And then Gordon's like, "You need to update your website with more recent reviews." And Luigi goes, "We have more recent ones from 1991. And Gordon's like, "It's 2011.
Yeah, no, he was straight up like, "Nah, I'm good, bro." Like, actually, I don't want to.
And then he tells Gordon that it's like a family-owned business and that the food is better than ever. And then Gordon asks to be introduced to the family, and so he brings out his wife, Grace, their daughter, Dominica, his brother, Tony, and Tony's wife, Linda. So we got Tony, we got Luigi, we got Linda, we got Grace, and we got Dominica.
Dominica is the name that doesn't fit the others.
I think
also, Cleese just licked my mic, so that's cool.
Yummy.
She's up, by the way. Here she is.
I believe Dominica is named after their dad, Dominic.
Okay, that makes sense. That's less weird.
So they all sit down, and Gordon asks what's wrong with the restaurant. Tony says that they don't work in the restaurant together, ever. He has the restaurant Monday to Wednesday, and then Luigi has the restaurant Thursday to Sunday. Because they don't get along and they don't want to be in the room together. And then Luigi and Grace say that Tony and Linda are lazy and they don't care about the restaurant. Linda and Tony are like, "No, you guys yell at people in front of the customers and we're just trying to like make sure that people are okay and happy." And there's complaints that customers won't come into the restaurant if they know Grace is there because she's rude to people.
Yeah, because they don't want to be abused today.
And so Tony says this so calmly. He's like, "Yeah, people don't want to come in here when you're in here." Grace slams the table and stands up and starts going, "Oh, no, like, not to be offensive, but like she literally sounds like a Mario character, like yelling
so,
at him.
You're right. She sounds like an Animal Crossing character if they were yelling. Like it's unintelligible. And it's not just because she's Italian. It's because the pitch is too high.
It's because she speaks in a pitch that only dogs can hear. And so, that's actually what it is. Her voice is so high-pitched and so shrill, and she is so loud and piercing, and she's speaking so fast, and you can't understand a word she's saying, but you know she's mad. And then Luigi gets riled up, and then he stands up to defend his wife, and Linda and Tony are like, they just like throw their hands up. They're like, "What the fuck do we do?"
I would never step foot in this restaurant ever again, even if I was just like on the other side of the, you know, like, even if I was across the way. I would never step foot in any establishment where someone is speaking like that.
Like, there's entertainment in watching some fights at restaurants, But that's a fight where I would be worried somebody's going to get a frying pan to the face. Like,
yeah, it's like, again, it's like not funny. It's yeah. not like in a, it's not like a, oh my God, you're so like being ridiculous. It's like cringy to watch.
Yeah, it's not like a Waffle House fight. Like,
correct.
So Gordon goes from this to just sitting down to eat lunch. And the waiter hands him the menu, and Gordon's like, this menu is huge, because of course. And then the waiter is like, yeah, last time I counted, there's 126 items on it, which is a lot. But in, like, in defense of Italian restaurants, you can do a lot with pasta. It's a lot of the same ingredients, just dressed differently. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. There's so many pastas, and all of them use red sauce, or white sauce, or pesto. Like... So Gordon orders a ravioli, like a fried ravioli, a linguine with pescatori. That's like a big fish pasta thing. And then he orders the mahi-mahi special, which I don't know of mahi-mahi being very Italian, but sure. Why not have a mahi-mahi on the menu?
Yeah, you know, I am saying words, but I don't really have an opinion on that at all.
Where is a mahi? Where is the mahi-mahi fish from?
The ocean. Let me look.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Which one?
Smartass. Probably the Pacific.
I was like, is it like a Hawaii fish? Or am I just thinking of like other Hawaii fishes?
The mahi-mahi, or common dolphin fish, is a surface-dwelling, ray-finned fish found in offshore, temperate, tropical, and subtropical waters worldwide. That sure sounds like all of them, except for the cold ones.
So this, it's just not helpful. It just lives at the equator. Cool. Got it.
Looks like the word Florida keeps coming up.
I guess it could be in the Mediterranean then.
Typing in mahi mahi where?
Where? Where's the mahi mahi?
Mahi mahi, where does it live? Thank you, Google.
This is an educational podcast at the end of the day, so.
Mahi-mahi are found in the Atlantic, Gulf of Mexico, and Caribbean, and are caught from Massachusetts to Texas. So when I said the Pacific, that was actually the one that was wrong.
Got it. And it's also the United States side of the Atlantic, not like the Europe side.
Correct.
So how they got mahi-mahi in Anaheim, California, in an Italian restaurant, I don't know. But it's there.
And you can it's order called... it. Importing, yep.
And you can order it. So he waits for his food, and he like remarks on the decor being like outdated. It's like fine, I guess. It looks like a, I don't know, like a diner. Like, I don't know,
the decor caught 0% of my attention.
Same. I could not tell you. Also the like remodel also couldn't tell you what it looked like.
Yep, I agree. I know that's like a pattern for me, but this one was like really uninteresting.
Yeah, like the interesting part of this episode is the fighting, which is not my favorite part of Kitchen Nightmares episodes. You know, like there was no kitchen walkthrough. There was no like, this is disgusting. There was no like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That is what I kind of watch for.
That's what I watch it for. I don't watch it for like people yelling at each other over stupid shit. Unless it's also, Gordon Ramsay yelling at you for being a mediocre white man, then I love it.
If you were to just imagine in your brain, if you didn't know what a mahi-mahi looked like, and you were just to imagine what color it was, what would you assume?
Like yellow and blue, probably.
Would you assume perhaps a fluorescent green?
You know,
I sure wouldn't have. Oh my god, they look so funny!
I guess when I said yellow and blue, I meant mix them together and get green.
Oh my god, why do they look so fucking funny?
You're gonna have to send me a picture.
Oh my god, they're so funny.
So, Gordon gets the ravioli first. It is a, like, a bed of, like, spring mix with, like, 8 deep-fried little raviolis on there and, like, a little cup of marinara. And the waiter's like, this is our 5 cheese deep fried ravioli. And Gordon's like, what are the 5 cheeses? And this is a whole thing, guys. This is a whole setup. So
it's like 10 full minutes they talk about this.
The waiter is like, they're pre-made. We buy them in. I don't know what is in them. And so Gordon says, go find out. And so the waiter goes to the back and is like, guys, what cheeses are in the ravioli? And they're like, I don't know. Look at the box. He looks at the box and it says like ricotta, mozzarella, white cheese, just like, and then like skim milk cheese, and then cheese and culture whey blend. And then the waiter goes back out, deadpan, says all this to Gordon Ramsay, and Gordon's like, where in Italy is whey and culture blend from? And the waiter's like, I don't know where it's from. Like, so serious. This waiter was not joking around. He was so serious. And then Gordon,
when he was like, it's non-fat that they dip in fat, and I was like,
and then Gordon
was
like, so it's a skim milk cheese, what does that mean? And the waiter says, it's a fat-free cheese dipped in fat. And I was like, why was any of this necessary? It's just, you can say it's a shitty ravioli, like,
yeah, that didn't need, that was clearly a rhetorical question, first of all. Because Gordon knows what fucking skim milk is.
Yeah, this waiter took his job very seriously.
He needed to loosen up a little, I thought. Because I like when the waiters are like, yeah, this place is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. So, next he gets the linguine. Or no, next he gets the mahi-mahi, which he says is bland and greasy and mush. And now I'm going to go look at what the picture of the mahi-mahi looks like. Why does it look like that? Right. Oh, you know what? Now that I'm seeing it, I do remember catching them in Animal Crossing.
I don't at all.
I think they're in Animal Crossing.
They probably
are. Why
does
it got a forehead like that?
Why does it have a five head?
Yeah, like who bonked? It looked like it got bonked. He got bonked.
It's the funniest fish I've ever seen. Look at that silly little guy.
There are some silly fish out there.
And by silly little guy, I mean fucking huge. And for why?
Oh, I'm sure that fish is the size of you. Yeah. The ocean terrifies me.
I fucking hate the ocean, man.
I would rather be shot into space than shot into the ocean.
I have no business with what they got going on down there.
Truly.
They can do it without me.
They got it covered. I don't need it. They've been living this long without us. They don't need us.
Yep. They got it.
Gordon makes the server taste the mahi-mahi, and the server agrees that it could be better. In the kitchen, Luigi is less than eager to accept any feedback, to say the least. And Gordon can hear him and Tony arguing in the kitchen from the dining room. Luigi comes out into the dining room to talk to Gordon, and Gordon's like, can I finish my meal first? And Luigi's like, yeah, whatever. And then he goes back to the kitchen. And then he gets the linguine pescatori, or whatever it was, and it's just like pasta, red sauce, clams, mussels, shrimp, or something. Like, all the shellfish.
Yeah, and he like says, a fruited de mare, classic.
Yeah. And he says that it's, like, grainy and tastes weird and disgusting. Super descriptive. We need to get this man a thesaurus. Like,
we really do. I hate when he just says it's mushy and bland.
Yeah, like, I need you to describe it better. What's the mouth feel?
Yeah.
So Gordon goes into the kitchen to meet Luigi and Tony, and he asks why the food was horrible, but Luigi's like, it's not horrible. I ate it. It's good. And Gordon says Luigi's lost his spark. And that he'll be back later to watch dinner service. So then he comes back later to watch dinner service. And he notices that, Luigi says, I want Gordon to see that my kitchen works like a well-oiled machine or some shit like that. And then Gordon sees that food goes out very, very fast. But it also comes back very fast because it's not good. Like, people are like, the sauce is too watery, it tastes weird, blah, blah, blah. And so Luigi just starts, like, shouting at everyone in the kitchen and all the waiters and everyone in the dining room can hear because it's actually, like, not that big of a restaurant either. Like, it's kind of small. And then Hello. Gordon comes to the kitchen to talk to him, but Luigi just shouts at him and walks out. He just fucking leaves. He's like, bye.
Yeah.
And then Tony has to go back out and talk to him to, like, see if he'll finish dinner service. And so he comes back, and Gordon... he comes back in, and Gordon's like, hey, just a reminder that the sign outside says the best Italian food west of Italy. So y'all need to live up to that name. he's like, y'all are not doing good. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, like, Old Spaghetti Factory is pretty good Italian food.
Yeah, they all say that, you know? Olive Garden says that. That's just what you say.
I don't want to be... Okay, I feel like I've had this take before, and I don't want to be controversial, because I love Italian food. I just made a lasagna. It's delicious. I don't think it's that difficult of a food to make.
I agree.
Like, unless you're hand-making the pasta every day, and that's probably the hardest part, is, like, if you're making, like, every ravioli by hand, like, for sure, that's hard.
But yeah, that's more like grinding your own sausages. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like actually doing it by hand, then yeah, for sure. That's hard. But if you're just making like pasta, meat, red sauce, like spaghetti meatballs, it's not that hard, guys. And like, this is my frustration with Italian restaurants on like shows like this, where I'm like, it's A, not that hard. And B, you just have to make it better than I can make it at home. And then I'll go to your restaurant.
Yeah, you know? And it's like 80% seasoning, you know?
Yeah.
It just like needs more salt most of the time.
Yeah, or like more garlic. Just fucking add garlic to everything and that'll solve all your problems.
Yeah.
Just get better bagel. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's, you know?
Papa like, John's, yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I get so frustrated when I see Italian restaurants try to like, I don't know. It's pasta, guys. We're not reinventing the wheel. Like,
yeah, especially if you're just buying your pasta, which most of them are. Yeah, you just cook it at the right amount of time.
And you just want to buy good pasta, even if it's dried or fresh. You just want to make sure you're buying good pasta and good veggies and good tomatoes and good tomato sauce.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, it's like, yeah, when people compliment people on how good their caprese salads are, I'm like, yeah, I didn't grow the tomato. I just bought the right shit, you know?
Yeah. I went to the farmer's market and I found the best heirloom tomatoes for this. Like, you know, like...
And then I served it immediately and I didn't let it sit forever.
Yeah. It's all about quality, guys. Quality. But I guess that's the hard part when you have 126 items on a menu.
Yeah.
Oh, because also classic. Back when Gordon was like, why the fuck do you have fried ravioli on your menu? Luigi was like, it's for the Americans. You know how they are. And Gordon was like, that's bullshit. It's Italian food.
That also made me mad.
It's pasta.
Where you
it's
pride yourself like... on all of this. And yeah, and then he was just like, yeah, this is for the Americans. I'm like, also, yeah, just don't fry it. I've never heard of fried ravioli.
I have never gone to an Italian restaurant that had, like, an American section. You know?
Yeah.
Unless it was, like, Olive Garden or, like, a more commercialized one.
But it's you just, like, you throw on a burger if you want to do that, you know?
But that's, like, what Mexican restaurants do. They have the, like, American section, and it's just, like, a burger and fries. Like, it's, like, literally it. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't make fried ravioli. That's not... You just think Americans want fried things. And we do. They're delicious. But also, like, I like regular ravioli, too. You know?
Yeah, if you want to have fried stuff, you have an arancini. You have, like, a mozzarella stick if you really want to do that.
Calamari, guys. Do the calamari.
Yeah, exactly. And they had calamari, didn't they?
I think eventually they did. I don't know. Gordon didn't order it. Usually he'll order a calamari if they have it. That's one of the staples that he orders. Because I feel like if you fuck up the calamari, you can fuck up a lot of everything else.
Yeah, same like he always gets a crab cake.
And he always gets a steak, yeah. If it's on the menu. Yeah.
Imagine if one day he goes, what if he ordered off menu? I think that'd be so funny.
He like just walks in, he just walks into like an Italian restaurant and he's like, I just really want tacos though. Can you like make me some tacos?
Yeah, just like, do you even know who I am?
That's like such a bitch move though. That's how oh, not to like get off topic, but this is like kind of relevant. There's been tea in the chef world. Have you heard about the David Chang stuff?
No, I haven't.
Do you know who David Chang is?
Has he been on the Try Guys before?
No. Roy Choi has.
Okay, that's who I'm thinking of, I think.
Roy Choi is great. I went to his restaurant in Vegas. It was delicious. Oh, no, David Chang is a restaurant owner and chef in New York, and he owns Momofuku, that restaurant chain. It's not a chain. There's the fancy one that's like the tasting menu. There's the noodle bar, and then there's like a couple chicken places that he has, and then he also co-owns Milk Bar, the like cake place.
Oh, I love Milk Bar.
Yeah. So he recently, because Momofuku has started doing their own like line of like spices and cooking ingredients and stuff, and they sell a chili crisp, which, if you don't know, chili crisp is just like chili oil and flakes and then like fried garlic, and it's like delicious, and you put it on top of things, and it's, yeah, it just adds spice and garlic to things. It's delicious. David Chang, in all of his infinite wisdom, has decided to send cease and desist letters to other businesses selling chili crisp, but the businesses that he's targeting are small businesses owned by like Asian American people. So,
oof.
Yeah, so he's like going on, like, people are like really mad at him because he looks like he's like kind of going after his own people in a way, and yeah, like he's
and
putting,
not like Trader Joe's.
Yeah, and he's putting down other like Asian American owned small businesses. Like, these are businesses that are owned by like just a couple people. They're not like multi-billion dollar corporations. And so instead, I think he's been doubling down too on it. Like, he hasn't been like, oopsie, bad on me, my bad. No, he's just like kind of a dick. So that's the tea in the chef world right now, is that David Chang is just becoming more and more of a dick every time people talk about him. So, you know.
Yeah, that's, pardon the pun, but that's pretty spicy.
Yeah. Because I was talking about this with somebody at this event I was at Sunday. And I was like, the rebuttal to that, to bring us back around, I feel like Gordon Ramsay and Guy Fieri, and even like Roy Choi, they like are really big on giving back to their communities, or like supporting small businesses and like chefs and everything. And it just like sucks when you see somebody who's in like such a position of privilege and such a harsh like business using it, yeah, to their advantage instead of like helping to like promote other small businesses. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, don't be a dick. Like,
yeah, that's just advice for everybody.
Yeah, here's solid advice, everyone. Don't be a dick. Be nice.
Yeah, have you just, like, tried not being a dick? That's what I do.
That's what I do every day. But anyways, that's my piping hot tea for the week.
That's amazing. Look, the restaurant chef tea, like, this is the podcast for that.
Oh, yeah, there is also that woman who, she owns this restaurant in Boston. I forget what it was called. But she charged somebody a $250 cancellation fee for their reservation because he got in an accident and broke his leg and couldn't, like, continue couldn't go to his Boston trip.
Oh, and, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that lady. And she was, like, grilling him on, like, Instagram DMs or something.
Yeah, and she was like, you're probably lying. Like, you probably didn't even break your leg. And it's just, like, a picture of him in the hospital, like, with his leg in the air and shit. Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, well, I'm still, like, you still, like, made it so I couldn't pay my staff that night, so blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, whatever. But, yeah, the restaurant world is crazy, guys. Like,
yeah, it's because it's one of those businesses that people start because they think it's easy.
And it's so not.
Yeah. That's
the biggest lesson I've learned from watching all of these shows. It's not easy, guys. It's not a good, yeah. It's not a quick way to make money. It's not a way to make money at all. Like,
it's people's like, we should buy a bar. That's what people do when they start restaurants.
Yeah. But the thing I've always heard about restaurants is that the best you can hope for is to break even, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because it's such an expensive upkeep and like paying people is expensive, and like unless you're gonna franchise it or sell it off to somebody else, like I feel like the way people make money in the restaurant business is selling their restaurants to other people.
Yeah, because also it's just such an like an oversaturated market. It's like influencers, you know? You know how everybody's an influencer and everybody has a restaurant.
Yeah, everyone's a Twitch streamer.
Everyone's a Twitch streamer.
So Gordon tells them that the problem with the restaurant isn't the food or the restaurant, it's them being dicks to each other. So, you know, there's that. Also, the food was bad, but like, you know.
Yeah.
They're also being dicks to each other.
Yeah, the screaming is not good.
Yeah, no. It's never a good look when you walk in and the restaurant owners are screaming at each other.
Like, there should never be, like, recurring screaming, you know?
I shouldn't have to know which days a person isn't going to be working so that I can enjoy my food there, you know?
Yes. Agreed.
So, the next day, Gordon meets with the family, so Tony, his wife, Grace, Luigi, Linda. Linda's not really a big part of this. She's just kind of there for support. So thank you, Linda. And he tells them that they're going to have a staff meeting. And they're like, we've never had a staff meeting before, which is crazy. How have you never had a staff meeting before? How does anyone know what to do? Like, you don't meet before each service and go, you have this section, you have this section. Anyone have any questions? Anyone have any concerns? Is anything broken? Do we need to do any? Like, what? What?
Yeah, good restaurants do have, yeah, like, the pre-shift meeting pretty much every day. You don't necessarily have to do that, but, like, there have to be meetings if it's not an email, you know?
Or you have to at least be going to your staff and checking in.
You have to be saying anything, yeah.
So Gordon organizes a staff meeting and has the four owners go sit in the back room with a little TV hidden camera moment so that the staff can be honest and the owners can hear how they really feel. So
yeah, the hidden camera game that's always a risky little game.
It's a risky move. They're gonna
it always
it
makes
all.
Me nervous when he does that, yeah.
Yeah, this time it didn't go well, I would say. The staff talks very freely to Gordon about all the issues they see in the restaurant. And then it's like everything Gordon's been saying so far. But then they start talking about Grace and how she's very abrasive and how she is hard to work with and how they don't know which Grace they're going to get that day or if she's going to yell at customers. And then Grace in the back is fully like, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to listen to this. This is, no, they're lying. They're wrong. They're lying. She's just like screaming at this TV. And Tony and Luigi and Linda are like, girl, you need to listen. Like, this is exactly what you're doing, what they're saying right now. Like, you're doing it.
She has like a panic attack about it. And I felt bad watching.
It was like a tantrum. And then it was like a panic attack. But also, I couldn't tell if she was like putting it up a little bit for the can't, I don't know, like it seemed genuine, but also at the end of it it seemed a little like over dramatic. Either way,
yeah, it was like it was like not fun to watch. It wasn't the kind where it's like, oh, look at that crazy bitch, or like, oh, I feel for her. It was like cringy, you know? I was like, ugh, that was,
yeah,
that was weird
because she went from mad to like crying. And
yeah,
they
she
had
was really upset.
And they had, and because she was like, I just want to quit. I just want to leave. I just want to go home. Like, I don't want to be here if they don't want me here, blah, blah, blah. And Gordon goes back there because they can, like, hear her wailing in the dining room. And Gordon's like, you need to listen to what they're saying. Like, you need to absorb what they're saying. You need to hear your staff and, like, talk to your staff. And how, like, the constant battle between the four of you is, like, destroying this restaurant.
Yeah.
And so Gordon takes them and they sit with the staff and address it all together and says that they all need to be honest and communicate with each other to make the business work. And so in order to help make the business work and make these people work together, Gordon says, let's make sausage.
He did. That is what he did, isn't it? I didn't put that together.
He takes Luigi, Tony, Linda, and Grace into the kitchen and says, "We're gonna make spicy sausage. We're gonna literally show everyone how the sausage is made."
Oh my god, I didn't put it together that way, but that's just precisely what happened.
Yeah, he literally has, like, Luigi and Tony, like, grinding the meat and putting it in the, like, little feeder thing to make the sausages. And Gordon goes to Grace and is like, "How big do you like your sausage?" And Grace is like, "Oh, you know, like, this big." And it's just like, what's happening?
You know.
And then they make, like,
started just being more common, like, the innuendo of it all.
And then they make, like, a dish for everyone to enjoy together. And they're all like, "Yay. Salud, blah, blah, blah." And then Gordon ends the day with a little surprise for Tony and Luigi. And it's a video of their dad in Italy, like, saying hi to them and telling them to work together and be good boys.
Which is very sweet.
It is very sweet.
They should have flown him in for this, though.
Truly. Well, he seemed very, like, elderly. I don't know if he was able to fly.
I guess that's true.
They should have given Luigi and Tony plane tickets to go see them.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
Like, take your
I don't know what their budget was like at this time. I don't know if Kitchen Nightmares had, like, a good budget, but I had to assume it was okay.
Not for these ones. This is still pre-Gordon Ramsay getting high-budget shit. Because this is, like, also Baby Hell's Kitchen era still.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't start getting good shit until, like, the mid-2010s, I feel like.
Okay, so he's still just, like, kind of some guy at this stage?
He's definitely known as Gordon Ramsay, like, TV chef, but I don't think he's, like, the big draw that he is now.
Got it.
He's not quite there yet. Because he's not, like, a Food Network guy either. Like, Gordon Ramsay was never on the Food Network, you know?
Yeah.
He's always just been a Fox guy. He had to compete with Glee. It's 2011. He's competing with Glee.
Shut the fuck up. Oh my god.
I'm not wrong.
Oh my god, he's competing with Glee.
He's competing with Glee. How are you going to compare to Glee numbers at that time?
My god. Okay, it's unscripted versus scripted. It's a different game.
But this is my new conspiracy, is that Kitchen Nightmares got canceled because it wasn't polling as good in numbers, and they were putting everything against Glee as, like, a barometer for good numbers.
I don't know, man. It's hard to compare.
Conspiracy theory. I said it's conspiracy theory. I didn't say it was true.
So it's just hard to compare, like, scripted versus not scripted.
That is very fair. And also, Hell's Kitchen is still alive and kicking, like, 24 seasons later. So.
Yeah, true.
God, there's been so many seasons of Hell's Kitchen. So Gordon's team works all night to make a new Luigi's. It now has a more Italian theme.
Make a new Luigi's.
Luigi's is more Italian now.
Make it the new Luigi's.
I love when they do Italian restaurants and the theme is just Italy.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys. Like, come on.
It's like anytime they do any sort of Cajun or, like, Caribbean food, the theme is always Caribbean.
Yeah,
the
it's just like always, palm trees.
It's blue. Blue.
Palm trees. Like, they're very bad. That's one of my critiques of restaurant shows in general, like this. They're very bad at, like, doing any design that's not just a stereotype of whatever that food is.
Yeah. But like, they're really about anything that's not just blue.
There's an episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back where he does, like, a Puerto Rican restaurant. And before they change it, it was, like, all white on the inside and, like, very, like, she looking. And Gordon was like, "It's an empanada restaurant. Why is it all white in here?" Which, like, to be fair, yes. But then he was like, "We need Puerto Rico in here." And so they made it, like, a Puerto Rican theme, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, there was an in-between. But, I mean, Gordon's right if what you're trying to do is get white people to come in.
Like, you need it to be a little kitschy. Like, have a theme. Your theme can't be white for an empanada restaurant. Like...
Yeah, but also, like, yeah, Gordon very much, I feel like, caters to white people.
Yeah. I don't know if that's Gordon or just like the network. I don't know if
that's just Fox. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if how much control he has on the designs of these things, to be honest.
That is, you know, that never occurred to me. I just assumed that he designed it, and I don't know why I've always assumed that.
I don't think he does. I think he might have like ideas, but I think he just has like a team of people who like do it for him.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, tell me about what you did, and then I'll say it in an enthusiastic way for these people.
Yeah, he has that. A Bobby Burke.
Yeah. He literally does in 24 Hours to Hell and Back. He has like a sidekick who is, he has a couple sidekicks in that show, actually. It's really cute.
No.
He has like chef sidekick and like construction lady sidekick.
Oh, I love that.
Also, like all the people in his later shows that work with him are like women. He like exclusively works with women.
Good.
Yeah, I like love all an of
inclusive man.
All of the chefs on 24 Hours to Hell and Back are women. Like, truly. Good.
Hell yeah, brother.
So, you know, he's like a cool guy. So
he really is like fixing feminism, isn't he?
You know, Gordon and his wife still love each other very much. So
Gordon is single-handedly crushing the patriarchy.
Good for him. So they love all the changes. Luigi is like, yay, my dad would love this. And then the menu has been simplified and there's new seasonal dishes. Everyone loves it. For relaunch night, everyone's very positive. Luigi's in charge of the kitchen. Tony is expediting. They're trying to work together. And then food is leaving the kitchen quickly. People are enjoying it. But then Tony just like disappears for a second. I don't know what happened. He just like left. I don't remember why. And then food gets backed up and then they have to like recover. And that's the drama of the night. And then it's fine. And then relaunch night is a success per usual. So, so, you know, everything's good. And that's the end of the episode. Ta-da. We did it. Do you want to know what happened next?
Yes, actually, definitely.
So what happened next at Luigi's d'Italia? I really got to start doing like vocal warm-ups before podcasting.
Oh my God. Talk to Michael. He'll help you.
I was a theater major. Many mumbling mice. I can't do lip trills.
I also can't do lip trills. I've never been able to figure out why that is.
I don't know.
I just lose it. Because our lips aren't like, we're not relaxed enough, I assume.
Or our lips aren't voluptuous enough.
I've never once been relaxed and I'll never become more relaxed. So.
My shoulders have never been higher.
I've just done what I can do.
Dude, I will never know a day of relaxation in my life. It's fine. We will never know peace. So what happened next? Over the next few weeks, Luigi receives great reviews from the local Orange County newspaper and is regaining its good reputation in the neighborhood. Luigi's is still open. It's reported that business was up to 40% after the show aired. It's not still open. But it was still open for a long time. Yelp reviews were positive. Negative posts were mostly but complaints about the service. TripAdvisor review were positive. In September 2017, they closed their original Anaheim restaurant after the building was sold with plans to relocate. They opened at their new location in December of 2017, posting the below on their Facebook page. We are so excited to announce we are finally open. Our hours are this. Our address is Fullerton, California. It's a smaller express location for mostly takeout orders, but we do have a few tables to dine in. We look forward to seeing you soon. They also offer catering services. So, we can check out their website. Let's check out their website.
I genuinely would have never guessed that they would have made it more than a couple months after this. Their
website is very old looking. This is a bad website. They did not update their website like Gordon told them to.
Yeah, well, they never had a good track record with that.
That's fine. Yeah, they're still open. It's in Fullerton, California. You should go.
Oh my God. Let me Google Maps that shit.
Holy shit. This is like a white whale of old Kitchen Nightmares episodes of restaurants Luigi's. That are still open. They have cannolis? That cannoli looks great.
Luigi d'Italia, East yeah. Bastancheri Road, Fullerton, California.
Yep.
Oh my god, it's open right now.
Oh yeah, it's only like 6 p.m. there. It's dinner time. People are there now.
That's crazy. Oh my god, the Google Maps location of it shows like a full parking lot.
Well, there you go. Now you know how you're going to park there.
That's a fun little anxiety bit of me. That's important to me, that there's like ample parking. Otherwise, I won't attend a place.
She says this to me every time she tries to go to Trader Joe's or some shit.
Yeah, it genuinely keeps me from going to Trader Joe's.
Because you're like, the parking lot's bad. Everyone here sucks. I'm leaving. I'm driving away.
No, it's true. I've done that. I've like taken one spin and I've like been hit by almost hit by too many cars. And I'm like, I can't do this right now. I have to go.
Well, that's incredible that they're open. I hope they're doing well. Oh my God. Hope they're all having a great time. I hope the siblings don't fight anymore. I hope Grace has calmed down.
Oh my god, I have to go.
You do have to go, and you do have to make a full video report for all of us.
Absolutely. I will create that content for our Instagram. I'm happy Hell yeah. to do that. Let me look at the menu.
We haven't gotten to it yet, but there is a restaurant in season 5 that is in Brooklyn that is also still open that I will be going to. It's a pizza place.
Yeah, all that pasta looks good. I would eat all of this. Oh my god, I love a linguine with clams.
If you see the cannoli, their cannolis look good. They look fat. It's like a fat
also
cannoli.
A linguine with clams for only $13 is insanely good.
Yeah, that's good pricing. I bet they give you a lot of clams too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should go and get like a little of everything.
Actually, yeah, I should.
A little sample platter. Well, if you're in California and you go to Luigi's, let me know how it is. Tell us on Instagram.
And if you see me there, say hello.
If you see me there, no, you didn't.
If you see me there, yes, you did.
But yeah, that's another episode of Kitchen Nightmares down the hatch. This is where it's going to get confusing, number-wise, because the next episode is technically a revisited. But what are these episodes, if not also revisited? So we skip those. So I'm not. Am I wrong? So this week is season 4, episode 4. We're skipping season 4, episode 5. So if you don't see that one, you didn't miss it. We're just going season 4, episode 6, which is Greek at the Harbor, which is also a great episode that Alana will also love. You're going to love that episode.
Hell yeah.
It feels very reminiscent to your experiences.
I love that. I'm sorry. The food at Luigi's looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, you're going to have to go there for sure. So, you know. Yeah, that's the end of the episode. Follow me on Instagram at Courtney Sile. Follow us on Instagram at Ramsey's Recaps. We post there occasionally. We're really bad at posting on the Instagram. It's okay, though.
It's because it was my job, and I stopped doing it. That's why.
I mean, I could have also have done it at any time, and I haven't, so, you know.
Yeah, I could have asked you at any point to step in, and I never did, so.
Yeah.
Blame is 70-30.
Yeah, it's a collective, like, oopsie-doopsie on our part, but, you know, we're also both very busy, and we have our other Instagrams.
We got fucking stuff to do. What do you fucking want from me, bro?
In our defenses, I have a small business Instagram that I also run, and Alana has a TikTok that she runs, so...
Yes.
We're both very online in other places, just not in this one on Instagram.
I agree.
But, you know, follow me at Courtney's Kitchen, and follow Alana at Alana Fine Woman, and go give money to her dog.
Yeah, a quick dog update. She's doing much better than she was last week. Thank you to the people. There were a couple of you that like reached out to me because we didn't put the link in our bio to the GoFundMe right away. And some of you like were looking for it and like actively sought it out and donated before that link was live. And you sent me messages and it made me tear up. It made me like a happy cry a little bit. It was very special. So thank you. I very much appreciate that. That was very lovely for you guys to do. But yes, she's on the mend. She's eating solid food now. we're headed in a good direction.
Yeah, she's off her antibiotics, so she doesn't feel like puking every 2 minutes, like, probably.
Straight dog shit, yeah. She feels better.
She has life in her eyes again.
She does.
She's up, she's walking around. She's licking herself.
That's correct.
Toothless is also here. He's just being annoying, so that's Toothless's
just
update.
Just living the dream.
He just wants to scream. On Toothless. Yeah. Go follow him on Instagram at blackcat.toothless. I don't ever post there either, but, you know, you can go see what it looks like at least.
Yeah. It's nice to know that the option is there.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with another amazing episode of Ramsey's Recaps. Bye.
I'll be there too.
Alana will also be there. I'll be there too. Toothless will be there too. And so will Lisa. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Why did this not stop?